Dinner, the whole evening, went better than Castile thought it would. Beth was a good hostess. Why am I surprised? She learned the profession of officer's lady from her mother, who may as well have written the book. And more than that, Beth was gracious. She seated Jamie Niedermeyer next to her and across from General Crenshaw and went out of her way to make him comfortable. And the kids were remarkably well-behaved, even the little one. Castile was seated between Mrs. Wilson and Mrs. Crenshaw, who struck him as another first-class officer's lady. Even Max behaved. He lay outside the sliding glass door to the patio, his head between his front paws, just watching, and neither whining nor suggesting that he would really like something to eat. General Wilson, a little happy, but not drunk after two glasses of wine, regaled everybody with stories of Warrant Officer Junior Grade Jorge Castillo, who, Colonel Castillo decided, must have driven his commanding officer nuts. One of the stories, which Castillo had not heard, was of a middle-of-the-night moonlight requisitioning flight in which a mess hall-sized refrigerator and a generator to power it were, as General Wilson gaily related, liberated from a QM dump and put to work for the 644th Helicopter Company. He sipped his wine, then with a huge grin said, "For the better part of the next day, the old man was torn between socking it to Jorge and me for misappropriation of government property or enjoying the cold beer. Cold beer won in the end." Castillo glanced at Richardson, who clearly was not as amused with the story as was his son, whose face showed he thought the idea of stealing things with a helicopter sounded great. Then Castillo's eyes met Beth's, and he wondered if she was thinking of what had happened in the Daleville Inn. "Hell yes, she is. That would be natural. But that was a very long time ago. The last thing I'd do is try to resurrect anything." A little after 8:30, just after Castillo had turned down a glass of brandy, "I have to fly in the morning," there was a familiar faint beep, and a moment later Niedermeyer reached into his lap and came up with the radio handset. He looked at it, then stood up and said, "Excuse me, it's for you, sir," and leaned across the table to hand it to Castillo. The legend read, "General McNabb." "Yes, sir," Castillo said into the handset. "I've got the truck driver on a landline. He's fueling at Benning. Who do I tell him to see when he gets to Rucker?" "General Crenshaw has named Colonel Richardson as his action officer, sir. But Niedermeyer, and maybe me, will meet the truck at the gate." "Driver and two shooters," McNabb said. "Make sure they're taken care of." "Yes, sir, of course." Castillo was aware that everyone was looking at him. "Crenshaw taking good care of you?" McNabb went on. "Couldn't ask for anything more, sir. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting across Colonel Richardson's dinner table from him, and General Wilson."
"I don't have the time to wander down memory lane. Give them my compliments," McNabb said,
and a faint change in the background noise told Castillo that McNabb had broken the connection. Castillo pushed the off button and handed the handset back to Niedermeyer. "That was General McNabb," Castillo said. "His compliments to you, gentlemen, and his apologies for having to take another call right now. The truck has just refueled at Fort Benning. What is that, an hour and a half from here?" Both Wilson and Crenshaw nodded. "He was checking to make sure the truck driver and his crew, total of three, are taken care of."
"I'll take care of that, General," Richardson said before Crenshaw could give the order.
"And now," Castillo thought, "I can get out of here." "Beth, thank you for a delightful meal. But I'm afraid that Jamie and I are going to have to be the infamous guests who eat and run. We've got a lot on our plate tonight and a first light flight tomorrow."
"I understand. We'll have to do it another time."
"I'd like that. I accept." And with that exchange of polite lies, I really can get out of here.
"Charlie, do you know how to find the airport in Ozark?"
General Wilson asked. I'm sure I can find it, sir.
I'll take you, Wilson offered.
That's unnecessary, sir.
I'll take you, Wilson insisted.
He's trying to be nice, sure, but there's more to it than that. Hell, he wants to go. Why didn't I think of that?
Sir, would you like to go along? What I have to do there won't take long. It just has to be done in person. We should be back here at, say, 4 or 5.
I don't want to intrude, Charlie.
But I really would like to see the damage along the Gulf Coast. Then you'll go. And there's room for one more in the airplane. Any takers? It would be something to see.
Can I go?
Randolph Richardson IV asked.
Of course not, son,
Randolph Richardson III said quickly. The look on Beth's face showed that she firmly supported that parental decision.
Why not? General Wilson said.
This is none of my business, of course, General Crenshaw said. But think it over, Richardson. It's one hell of an opportunity for the boy. For the rest of his life, he'd remember that right after the hurricane, he flew over the area with his grandfather and saw everything.
Well, viewed in that light, Randolph III said.
I don't think so, Beth announced. It would be dangerous.
But General Crenshaw is right, honey, Randolph III said. It would be something he would remember all his life.
Are you sure of your landing field, Castillo? It's safe to use?
Castillo nodded.
I don't want to take the kid. I don't even want to take General Wilson. I was just being a good guy. No good deed ever goes unpunished.
Okay, then, it's settled, General Wilson said. Randy and I will pick you up at O'Dark 100 at the Magnolia House. That way you won't have to leave the army van at the airport.